Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. I'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled, McLean County Board OKs Cannabis Business Regulations. Cannabis-related businesses would be allowed in rural areas of McLean County, but strictly regulated under an amendment to the county zoning ordinance approved by the county board on Tuesday night. The county board, at its monthly meeting at the government center, voted 16-2, with member Lindsay Bloomfield abstaining, to amend the zoning ordinance to allow cannabis businesses by special use permit in specific zoning districts, provided several standards are met. Catherine Metzger and Randall Martin voted against the amendment. My constituents don't want that cannabis-related business. And I'm supporting my constituents, Metzger of rural Carlock said after the meeting. The amendment was recommended by the Zoning Board of Appeals following a hearing 2 weeks ago and comes a month after the county board voted 10-8 to defeat a proposal to prohibit cannabis-related businesses. Public hearings, special use permits with setback restrictions, and approval by the Zoning Board of Appeals and County Board will be required to give residents an opportunity to speak about proposed cannabis businesses. Adults in Illinois have been allowed to buy and use cannabis for recreation since January 1st. But local governments may adopt zoning regulations related to cannabis businesses. McLean County's authority is the unincorporated areas of the county. The amendment allows, by special use permit, craft growers and cultivation centers in agricultural districts, craft growers, cultivation centers, dispensaries, infusers, and processors in commercial districts. Each cannabis-related business in restricted manufacturing districts and each business except a dispensary in general manufacturing districts. Cultivation centers can't locate closer than 1,000 feet from the lot line of school grounds, a playground, public park, a house of worship, a public library, a daycare center, or a residential lot. Cannabis businesses other than cultivation centers can't locate closer than 500 feet from the lot line of those properties. The amendment specifies that lighting be restricted from passing through side walls and roofs of cannabis-related businesses at night, and that parking lot lighting be directed on-site to limit lighting spillover onto neighboring properties. In other business, the board voted 12-6 against a motion by member Lori Wohlraub and supported by Democrats on the board to submit questions to the state's attorney's office on the law regarding location or relocation of polling places. The question arose in November after the board didn't take action on a Bloomington Township request for Bloomington Township 01 voters who cast ballots at the township building, 2501 Fox Creek Road, to join voters at the larger Bloomington Township 02 polling place at the township fire station, 14880 Old Colonial Road. During a discussion at Finance Committee before the board meeting in November, members, including Wohlraub and Carlo Rostabelli, said they were reluctant to consolidate polling places. Wohlraub and Rostabelli argued Tuesday night that information from the state's attorney's office would be helpful the next time a polling place change is requested. But member Jacob Beard said he already had enough information from the state's attorney's office and the county clerk's office. After the meeting, Wohlrab told the Pantograph, "I'm curious as to why the Republicans are afraid to get more information on this topic." Today's Flick Fact question. That chili mac sauce you eat at any Steak and Shake in the world was said to have been invented where? For extra credit, give the exact street address. The answer? In the kitchen at 1110 East Emerson in Bloomington. That was where Steak and Shake founder Gus Belt lived and is said to have one night with his wife Edith mixed ketchup with Worcestershire sauce and a dash of cocoa to begin a legend. Today in history, today is Wednesday, January 22nd. It's the 22nd day of 2020, and we have 344 days left in this year. Today's highlight. On January 22, 1998, Theodore Kaczynski pleaded guilty in Sacramento, California, to being the Unabomber responsible for 3 deaths and 29 injuries in return for a sentence of life in prison without parole. On this date in 1498, during his third voyage to the Western Hemisphere, Christopher Columbus arrived at the present-day Caribbean island of St. Vincent. In 1901, Britain's Queen Victoria died at age 81 after a reign of 63 years. She was succeeded by her eldest son, Edward VII. In 1944, during World War II, Allied forces began landing at Anzio, Italy. In 1953, the Arthur Miller drama The Crucible, set during the Salem witch trials, opened on Broadway. And a thought for today from Dame Agatha Christie, the English mystery writer who lived from 1890 to 1976. I know there's a proverb which that says, "To err is human." But a human error is nothing to what a computer can do if it tries. And how time flies. From the pages of the Pantograph, 100 years ago on January 22, 1920, another flu epidemic is shaping up in Illinois. The state health department says cases are spreading from northern Illinois and from East St. Louis. Bloomington hasn't been affected yet, but Chicago reported 35 deaths from flu and 47 from pneumonia in 24 hours. 75 years ago, on January 22, 1945, Haworth barber L.B. Slater is suing E.E. Dabney over Dabney opening a second barbershop. Slater says Dabney broke a deal that he would buy Dabney out if he wouldn't cut hair in Haworth for a year. Dabney denied any such deal. Judge Radliff didn't rule. 50 years ago, on January 22, 1970, the Bloomington School Board dropped length of hair from the student dress code. The code applies to girls and boys alike, but it was two brothers who were first expelled and then reinstated at Bloomington High School in the case of hair too long. The rest of the dress code was left intact. And 25 years ago today, on January 22, 1995, the Leroy City Council voted to tear down what's left of the Howe Building. Part of the roof fell in on the decaying structure last week, and its chances for long-term survival were assessed as none at all. City Attorney Hunt Henderson was ordered to start the process. Architect selected for library expansion. Bloomington Public Library trustees, Tuesday night, selected Engberg Anderson Architects of Rosemont to move a scaled-down library expansion plan forward. By a 9-0 vote, the library board authorized BPL Executive Director Jean Hamilton to begin negotiating terms of a contract, including the firm's fee, to come up with several concepts for the library's expansion at its current site, 205 East Olive Street, at an estimated cost of $15 million. Engberg Anderson was among four finalists the trustees interviewed during a special board meeting on January 11th. The board selected them from 12 applicants, including its current consultant, the Farnsworth Group, that responded to a request for qualifications. Engberg was my first choice because they were focusing on little wows throughout the entire facility versus one big or a fewer bigger items, said trustee Alicia Whitworth. Whitworth and trustee Diane Hollister both said they liked Engberg's focus on inclusivity and making the library a space everyone could enjoy. I liked what Engberg was focused on, some out-of-the-box thinking and solutions, especially since we're going to be working with a tight budget, said trustee Susan Moore. We're going to try to work with as much of the existing infrastructure and materials that we can, Moore added. I liked that someone could come in and re-envision what we have and take a modest approach. Farnsworth's previous estimates ranged from $28.5 million to meet all of the library's needs to $52 million to develop a more elaborate, civic-style campus occupied by stores, offices, and nonprofit organizations on city-owned land just south of the library's current location. But the library board agreed the $15 million range would be more realistic from the perspective of getting city council support for funding the project, Bloomington Public Library Board President Julian Westerhout said. When using a request for qualifications process, state law requires no fewer than three firms that are determined to be the most qualified be ranked in order of qualification. So we weren't even allowed to talk about price for a specific architect's work until after we've done that process, Hamilton said. If something would happen where we are not able to come to terms on contract or price with Engberg Anderson, we would have to move to the second firm. The board's ranking for the other finalists was Peoria-based Dewberry second, Chicago-based Sheehan Nagel Hartray Architects third, and Gensler and Michael C. Barnes Architects, also of Chicago, fourth. Engberg Anderson has completed library projects for the Illinois communities of Barrington, Joliet, Rockford, Palos Heights, and Iowa communities of Iowa City and Davenport, as well as Charlevoix, Michigan, and Evansville, Indiana. Normal asked to develop weather plan. A group of volunteers and community members want local government organizations to work together to develop a community response to address extreme weather conditions. Retired Illinois State University professor Bill Raw was among a group from Climate Action Campaign that addressed the Normal City Council Tuesday night, asking for city officials to get more involved on emergency preparedness for extreme heat or extreme cold. These are critical issues, and I'm not a psychic, but I have a feeling in my gut because we haven't had a major heat wave for a few years now, and we are due, he said. City governments did not create this, and city governments cannot solve all of these problems. But local governments can take some action and develop some policies that address these issues, said Cecilia Long, a member of the Climate Action Campaign. Group leaders said local officials need to address the need for emergency cooling and heating centers and train local first responders on extreme temperature emergency aid, and asked that Normal, Bloomington, and McLean County work together to establish a command center for emergency situations. "We will need people who are trained for slow emergencies," Raw said. "You can see a heat wave or cold snap coming, and we have first responders trained for immediate emergencies, but not so much for slow emergencies like a long-lasting heat wave or cold spurt." The council took no action, but council member Stan Nord said the issue needs to be addressed. "I think it's appalling we don't have a plan," he said. "The heat and cold won't respect Division Street, so I would think that the multicultural program could take a look at something like this and work with the community to develop a plan." In other business, work will begin this summer on some streets in Normal that officials say need attention. The council approved more than $1.5 million in motor fuel tax funding for the upcoming 2020 construction season. The preliminary list includes Hovey Avenue from White Oak Road to Cottage Avenue. Newer concrete pavement sections will be omitted. Parkside Road from Aaron Drive to College Avenue, and Fort Jesse Road from Landmark Drive to Greenbrier Drive. Planned work on these street segments includes milling and resurfacing, sidewalk and ADA ramp accessibility improvements, curb and gutter repair, and drainage structure repair and adjustment. Work is expected to be bid this spring, start in early summer, and be completed by the end of the summer. Streets are selected for repair based on several factors, including condition, underlying utility needs, traffic level, rehabilitation type, deterioration rate, and cost. Just remember to laugh. Gridley Woman, 105, celebrates birthday. Connor Carriger says the best advice his great-grandmother, Pearl Rickenberger, has given him is just remember to laugh. And laughter was in abundance Sunday at Meadows Mennonite Retirement Community while a party was in progress to celebrate Rickenberger's 105th birthday. She is the oldest resident at the facility, where she has lived since December 2015. What stands out about Pearl is she's the most loving person. She's a handholder. She's friends with all the residents. The staff is all her friends, said Shelley Nagy, Director of Business Development. The youngest of 10 children, Rickenberger said she doesn't really know the secret to her longevity. "You should exercise," she said. "Eat 3 meals a day, but don't eat too much." Although people speak of her laughter, kidding manner, church involvement, and care for others, Rickenberger said, "I guess I'm ornery once in a while." When she was growing up, she played accordion in a group with her siblings, providing music at dances. "If I had an accordion, I'd play you all a tune," she said, in the midst of Sunday's party. Her granddaughter, Julie Carriger of Willow Springs, said a couple of years ago she was going to show all the young girls how to do the Charleston. Although her hearing and eyesight are declining, Rickenberger is still quite spry. "She can walk circles around me," said Quani Samuels, Life Enrichment Director at Meadows Mennonite. I remember when I got here and said, "She's 104?" I couldn't believe it. Rickenberger's sense of humor shows in excerpts from an old diary, including some poetry read by her great-granddaughter, Blaine Carriger, of Willow Springs. The entries include, "A kiss is sweet, but it's oh so bitter to kiss the lips of a tobacco spitter." "And when I get married and my husband gets cross, I'll pick up the broom and say, 'I'm the boss.'" "It's been so special growing up, having someone like Gigi in our lives," Blaine said. "She likes to take fairy tales and make them scarier." Blaine's brother Connor said the story of the big bad wolf is one of those tales. Rickenberger would put her hand behind her back where the children couldn't see it, and when the big bad wolf approached the house of one of the three little pigs in the story, she would rap her fist loudly on the wall behind her. "It just about made me jump out of my skin," he said, laughing. As family, friends, and former neighbors greeted Rickenberger, no one escaped a kiss or a hug. Not even State Representative Dan Brady, Republican from Bloomington, who was there to deliver cards and a plaque from state lawmakers, Congressman and Governor J.B. Pritzker. "You brought all the Democrats and Republicans in the area together," said Brady. "I think I'll bring you to Springfield." The first president for which Rickenberger voted was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Her family said she worked as an election judge for more than 50 years. Her daughter, Roberta Leake of Gridley, said her mother has always been involved with her church, now known as Christ Community Church in Gridley. She and her late husband, Art, were married more than 50 years. In addition to their daughter, Roberta, they had a son who died in an accident. Leek said her mother loves to quilt and made a quilt for each of her three grandchildren and nine great-grandchildren. She also crocheted hats and baby blankets and donated them to the Christ Child Society in Peoria. She was an excellent baker and would bake pies for a lot of people. No special occasion was necessary, said Leek. Traveling and pinochle are counted among her favorite activities. One of her card-playing friends, Joan Comincelli of Gridley, said, "She's always so happy and cheerful, except when she lost at cards. She wanted to win." Donna Cabe, whose late husband Daniel was Rickenberger's nephew, said Rickenberger is a fun person to be around. She recalled traveling with her to Branson, Missouri 6 years ago for a family reunion trip, during which Rickenberger told each performer it was her birthday, so they would give her a hug. "She's always the life of the party," said Cabe. "Today, she's the center of the party." Heartland to add varsity esports this fall. Esports will become a varsity sport this fall following action by the Heartland Community College Board of Trustees on Tuesday. Startup costs are estimated at $28,500, including upgrades to an existing computer lab in the Workforce Development Center and purchase of new gaming stations, tables, and chairs. There will be recurring annual costs estimated at $23,500 for membership in the National Association of Collegiate Esports, a part-time coach's salary, annual computer and equipment upgrades, uniforms and apparel, and travel expenses. An esports club started at Heartland in 2017 and has competed against schools such as Illinois State University and Illinois Wesleyan University. IWU launched its esports program in the fall of 2018. ISU plans to offer varsity-level esports competitions this fall. Sarah Dial Hunt, Vice President, Enrollment and Student Services, said, It helped propel us forward, knowing that we had two local institutions for students to transfer to. Moving from a club sport to varsity will help students provide a higher caliber of play and improve their chances of obtaining a spot on another esports team after leaving Heartland, she said. Another big deciding factor was the level of interest in esports at high schools within the Heartland District. Skylar Guymond, Director, Student Engagement, said, "We know we are just at the very beginning of what esports means. NACE currently has just over 130 members, but they say that number will triple in the next few years. Heartland will be the second community college in Illinois to add varsity-level esports. The other is Carl Sandburg College in Galesburg. Heartland already has had success as a club sport." Team member Danny Green told the board the club finished first in its division in the state last year. Initially, Heartland will compete in League of Legends with a 6-member varsity team and 6-member junior varsity team. Other games could be added later. In other business, the board approved a gymnasium floor repair and equipment installation project at the Fitness and Recreation Center at a cost not to exceed $610,000. The condition of the gymnasium floor has deteriorated, raising safety concerns, according to materials provided to the board. The project also will include adding a set of retractable bleacher seats. The building was designed to allow such seating along the east wall. Area calendar for today, which is Wednesday. Senior Living, What Are My Options? Will be presented from 9:30 to 11 at the Normal Public Library. There will be speakers and staff from Heritage Health and Evergreen Senior Living. MLK Teach-In Keynote, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hanson Student Center, Illinois Wesleyan University, Bloomington. The speaker is Sundiata Chaju, Associate Professor of History and African American Studies from the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. The topic, Dr. King, Who Was He Really? Memorial service for the unborn victims of abortion will be held at noon on the west steps of McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. The speaker will be Pastor Robert Smart from Christ Church in Normal. There will be a book signing at 6 p.m. at the Deer Creek District Library, The Secret Journal by Otto Schaefer. And on Thursday, Children's Studies Minor Speaker Series. The speaker is Chelsea M.E. Johnson, sociologist. The talk will be at 11 a.m. in Edwards Hall, Room 235, Global Movements, Local Meanings, Black Girls, and at 7 p.m. in Schroeder Hall, Room 244, Moving Beyond Academic Borders, The Radical Potential of Intersectional Feminist Children's Literature. And Masters of Adventure, Become a Dungeon Master, will be presented from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 22nd, 2020. Please stay tuned.